Hello, friends. Welcome to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW here in Bellevue, Washington, on 1150 AM, just outside Seattle in the United States. The program focuses on out-of-this-world information, including psychic phenomena, UFOs, metaphysics, and predictions for the coming years in Seattle, the United States, and beyond. Last hour, we had one of the world's most famous scientists, Professor Dean Radin of the Institute for Noetic Studies in Petaluma, California, talking about metaphysical reality. And at the end of the interview, he said he was interested in interviewing mediums who speak to people who've passed on. And I said, well, we have a wonderful guest on for our second hour, Suzanne Warden. That's exactly what she does. Susie, are you there?
I am. Hello, Ted.
So nice to have you here today.
Thank you.
It really is. It really is. I just want to make a quick announcement that we have for those who missed the first hour, we have a wonderful couple of different things I want to tell you about. We have a wonderful new conference going on in early March, March 6, 7, and 8, called the Galactic Wisdom Conference. We will be having some of the world's top psychics, mediums, and UFO people there. The cost is only $197 for the 3 days, or $97 a day. And if you're a student, you get 50% off. And the conference itself is nonprofit. The purpose of the conference is to raise consciousness. And so I'm keeping the prices as low as possible. If you're interested in attending, please go to our website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. And we're running a special now through February 14th, Valentine's Day, for registrations. We're having people flying in from as far away as Tokyo, Japan, with Michiko Hayashi and Dr. Yasuo Inamoto of the Emoto Peace Project to talk about the late Masaru Emoto's wonderful work with love and gratitude. We're having Lois Berman flying in from Boston. She's one of the best psychics, in my opinion, in North America. She has her own radio and television shows, and she's absolutely amazing. We're also having Dr. Susan Shumsky, who's, in my opinion, is the world's authority on chakras and auras. If you've been in a bad love relationship, for example, and your heart's hurt, are suffering from that, Dr. Shumsky is the person to go to see for help. And she's just absolutely wonderful. We're also having a gentleman named Jerry Wills, who's actually, when you meet Jerry, he's over 7 feet tall. And when I first met him, I had to look up. And I'm 5'9". I have to look up to talk to him because he's way up there. But Jerry specializes in healing. And one of the things that I saw firsthand when I first met Jerry last October, in October 2014, I flew to Bergen, Norway, to an international UFO conference. And I saw Jerry, before my own eyes, take out the implants from a lady who had been heavily implanted by the Greys and the reptilian aliens. So if you have that problem, if you have been abducted by those creepy aliens, reptilians and the Greys, please come to the conference. He's going to have a free special healing session from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Saturday, March 7th, at the Inn at Gig Harbor, and you'll be able to get help. We're also having local psychics Teresa Carroll, Don McFarlane, Darcy Adams, as well as the wonderful Robert and Rachel Zink from Portland, Oregon area. And it's truly one that you won't want to miss. And last but not least, we're also having Scott Lemriel, the author of The Say Race Agenda. Scott's a personal friend of mine. He has been in touch both telepathically and face-to-face contact with members of what's called the Galactic Alliance. The Galactic Alliance is a group. It's an alliance of 435 million planets, or approximately 7 trillion entities, mostly human, all benevolent. In some cases, they are tens of thousands of years ahead of us technologically and spiritually, most of whom look just like us, except that they're far advanced. On their home worlds, a typical human planet, a typical human lives for approximately 1,000 years. There's no poverty, there's no disease, and they want to help us achieve that kind of spiritual progress so we can advance and become a truly happier and more enlightened planet. But you'll be able to meet Scott at the conference on Saturday, March 7th. And also, too, Scott will be teaching techniques on how to contact the Galactic Alliance. And he also has something very special to share with you on how to protect yourself against any and all harm. And that's provided, again, by the Galactic Alliance. But I've talked enough, and I want to get to Susie today. Susie, hi. How are you today?
I am fine. Thank you. And Ted, the guests, the presenters at the conference sound absolutely wonderful. I'm going to be in Peru and Chile then, visiting family. So I'm going to miss the conference.
Oh.
But I'm sorry. This trip was long planned long ago, but I just think that you are having the most marvelous assortment of presenters there, and congratulations on that. I'm so sorry that I won't be able to go.
Oh, that's all right, Susie. Well, I tell you what. I plan to have another one in September or October, and why don't you just come then when I have my second conference?
Well, we'll see what's going on in my life then.
Okay. That's great. That's great. Well, and I want to tell people, too, that, you know, there's been a lot of wonderful people coming to Seattle recently. But if you look at but my conference is priced about the same amount as you would pay for one of the wonderful speakers coming to Seattle. There's other venues here, of course, and other people have come to the town. But at those other venues, of course, you pay about the same price, but often you're in a room of maybe 800 people, and it's impossible to get close to anybody at that point. I'm limiting the number of registrations to 200. We're filling up fast because I want intentionally to have a lot of small group interactions, and especially for the free psychic readings. I mean, if you go out and get a full hour of a typical psychic reading here in Seattle, you'll pay up to $125. And some of the psychics I know charge $250 for a half hour. At my conference, you'll get all the psychic readings you want. They're all included in the registration cost, whether you come for 3 days for $197 or just for a day at $97. And it's a real bargain. And I'm keeping the prices as low as possible because I want to raise consciousness. The purpose of this conference is not to make money, but instead to raise consciousness, to make this planet a much better and happier place than it is currently. And I know that's what drives you too, Susie, and I just want to thank you so much for your wonderful work.
Well, thank you for mentioning that. Yes, I was thinking, Ted, we're all on the same team when it comes to raising in consciousness level of our civilization. I was listening very attentively to you as you were describing the various presenters and thinking, yes. You know, when you were saying that they live so much longer than we do, and because they aren't programmed for illness and dying, they have a totally different cellular patterning. And yes, they are, I think, in terms of light years, not that those really do exist, but we sort of have that expression, light years, meaning way, way ahead of us. And they are indeed in their spiritual and conscious awareness, certainly in their technological developments, and the amount of love that they feel for us, it's unconditional.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I want to tell you briefly, if you go to my website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com, there are a series of pictures there. And I want to give a big compliment to Dr. Susan Chomsky of New York City. She's an absolutely wonderful person, a very, very good spiritualist. But if you look at her, photograph, she's in her like early or mid-60s. She looks like she's in her 20s or 30s, seriously. And then I have another friend of mine who's 55 years old, and I swear she looks like she's in her 20s. And as people advance spiritually, the physical body reverses, which is really, really, really neat to think about. Often when people have a hard life or they're very negative, you can see that in the lines in their faces, and they look kind of worn out, unfortunately. But, life isn't easy here on the planet, but if people can learn to spiritually advance, there's a lot of wonderful benefits from that.
There are indeed. And I'd just like to mention that it is our belief system. It is our being in touch with, you can call it higher self or self-mastery or it's really the God aspect. I mean, each of us is a part of God. And I think once that consciousness is so firmly within our knowledge, we do absorb light. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's so much that we are immune to wrinkles and mm-hmm. flab and that sort mm-hmm. of thing that comes mm-hmm. with aging, mm-hmm. but it's the light within us. It's mm-hmm. a sense of joy,
sure.
of knowing the oneness, the inseparable connection at soul level that we have with all of those beautiful beings throughout the universe, because we're all part of God by whatever name we call him. There's a special glow that comes from the inner wisdom. And it does not ever mean that we are immune to the downsides of life. We're not immune to grief or, in some cases, chronic illnesses. Disappointments, betrayal. We do experience all those sorts of things. But what I think we are able to do is rise above them.
Mm-hmm.
We are more in touch with the inner strength that every one of us does have. And it's just a matter of rising above and getting in touch with the God self. And mm-hmm. that, I believe, is what one of the great advantages of raising consciousness
mm-hmm.
of everyone, to help everyone get to the point where they can deal with adversity and rise above it.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, you have a wonderful blog. I'm trying to remember the what's the internet address so we can give that. Could you give that out to my many listeners so they could look up some spiritual things?
My domain site?
Yes, uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, of course. It's the www, Matthew Books, two T's in Matthew, plural books, .com.
Wonderful, wonderful.
And there are probably at least 150 messages from Matthew going back as far as December 2003 and, you know, up to date with this month's is message for January, and they cover, I think, just about anything that I can think about. Obviously, even though I don't have any input, I just act like any good secretary does. I listen and take dictation.
Sure, absolutely, absolutely. Well, I have a copy of your most recent message dated January 11th, 2015, that my sound engineer, Eric, was kind enough to print off for me in a hurry at the last minute here. But at the end of the message, if I may like to read it, Matthew states, one last word about vibrations. We have mentioned before the importance of words, how their vibrations affect the persons who use them and who will hear them. Experience of performed by Dr. Masaru Emoto, or evidence of this, which you can see in his Water and Words part of this site, which is the www.masaru-emoto.net. Matthew writes, Dr. Emoto came from a highly evolved civilization specifically to endow your world, planet Earth, with those scientific discoveries. And when he transitioned a few months ago, he passed away in October 2014. He was welcomed by a whole bunch of souls who knew that he fulfilled his mission here on planet Earth with great success. That mission now is being carried on by some wonderful people, including Michiko Hayashi and Dr. Yusuro Moto of the Moto Peace Project. They will be here at my conference in March 6th, 7th, and 8th. Who'd like to meet them in person? They'll be giving a wonderful presentation on Dr. Moto's work. But I wanted to share that with you. There's lots of other things written, of course, in Matthew's messages. Now, Susie, if you could explain to my many listeners around the world, Matthew is your son, is that correct? And he passed away some years ago?
He is my son.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he was in a fatal vehicle wreck. And the exact date is April 17th, 1980. He has been, I guess on the other side, we would say, for twice as long as he was here as my son.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to mention that, excuse me, please, Nirvana, what she has said is the proper name of what we call heaven. He hasn't been there for, by now, almost 15 years. He has been traveling literally around the universe to civilizations that invite him to help to evaluate their spirit worlds and help them upgrade them,
mm-hmm.
Which I think is fascinating. And for a number of years, I don't remember how many, he has been speaking for a multitude of souls at an awareness, a spiritual and a conscious evolutionary station that is quite far above ours. And he speaks it's only his voice that I hear. He is their spokesperson. The messages are everything in that all the souls at that station know. The information is not just, say, Matthew's knowledge or his perspective on what is going on Earth. And I think that is such a fascinating aspect of it.
Fascinating, fascinating. Now, I remember some weeks ago you sent me a message from Matthew regarding my radio show. I don't remember everything that he that you wrote. Do you remember what he wrote? I can't remember now.
Ted, I don't.
Okay.
I look at one of his messages that he may have given it to me only 6 months ago, and I think, my goodness, I didn't realize he said this.
That's amazing.
It comes through as, I guess, raw material might be a fairly apt expression for it. Mm-hmm. And other times I recall the gist of something, and I think, my goodness, he expressed this so well. He is... he's not a writer, but when I said to him one time, Matthew, you are an orator. You know, why didn't I sign up to be a good public speaker? And so he says, Mother, I'm really not an orator, but I need to be able to speak clearly. So, you know, enunciate clearly, express myself clearly without any ambiguity, because we want all the readers of this information to understand it. Even so, as he has told me later, well, because I know, I get emails from people who say, what did Matthew mean when he said, you know, whatever it was? And he addresses the questions in a subsequent message, because he realizes, okay, sometimes because we know this specific topic so completely, we do overlook that there are aspects that people may question. We try to not have any gaps, but sometimes we do. So, and I guess in essence what he's saying is, it's all right to question. It's good to question. It shows interest in the information that is being read. The readers are reading it. It shows their interest in knowing more. And this is what is so encouraging about our society today. People are eager to know more, to understand more, to make the connections with what really is happening on Earth, to understand what this planetary and personal ascension is all about. Where is it leading us?
Well, absolutely, absolutely. Well, I'm a firm believer that Nostradamus, way back in the 16th century, was correct when he said that beginning in the 2030s and 2040s on this planet, that we would start a process of 1,000 years of spiritual evolution, like a golden age of both spiritual and technological evolution, so that we would truly become a far better and far happier planet than we are now. And I think Nostradamus was right. I think your work, certainly the goal of my radio station and others, certainly like Professor Radin, who was on my previous hour, we're all on the same side of the fence, trying to make this planet a better place. And we're certainly the vanguard of trying to raise consciousness. You know, we don't have to live with conflict. We don't have to live with endless Middle Eastern wars that last for decades. We don't have to have the conflicts we do today. If people would only know the value, for example, of getting along and living in harmony, we'd have a far better planet than we do today.
Oh, yes, yes. That is so clear that there are so many areas in which our world can be so much better, where people can live peacefully and harmoniously together, where we can understand that we truly are here as stewards. We don't own this world. We are here to make it a better world for the animals, for the planet. We need to understand that animals are souls too. Actually, Earth is a soul. We all are souls having a physical experience. Mm-hmm. And Earth is a soul. Gaia or Gaia. I tend to pronounce it Gaia. I don't know why. I mean, mm-hmm. that's the Spanish pronunciation. Mm-hmm. My Spanish is minimal, mm-hmm. yet I tend to say Gaia. I think Gaia is probably more commonly known by people who speak English.
Sure.
That is the name of the soul who embodied as a planet that hasn't always been called Earth. Mm-hmm. Terra and Sean are names that it has been called in antiquity by civilizations who came here then or knew about the planet then. And, you know, it's not necessary to know things like that. It's interesting, mm-hmm. but really, basically, all we need to know is that each of us is an inseparable part of the entire universe, mm-hmm. and that we—it's true that we have our own pace, our own evolutionary pathway. We are entitled to take the pace that is most comfortable for us in reaching the higher understanding that members of our extraterrestrial family have and are helping to impart this to us. Mm-hmm. And this is why they are communicating with people like us, Ted. Mm-hmm. And there are telepathic communication is opening for a number of people. And this is something else that I find so encouraging about this age in which we are living.
Well, it's definitely getting that is becoming more normal all the time. There was a prediction actually by Nostradamus that by the 2030s and 2020s and 2030s, just 10 years from now, that telepathy, the kinds of things that I do and psychic abilities will become normal. That so many people will have that ability. It'll be very easy, for example, if you're in a courtroom and for the judge simply to read somebody's mind and tell whether they're telling the truth or not. Or if, wouldn't that be a fascinating way? So you could.
It would. And I'm so glad that you mentioned that, mm-hmm. Telling the truth. Because telepathic communication is completely honest. Mm-hmm. It is a transfer of the energy of one person's thoughts to another person. And it can only be totally truthful. Because
absolutely.
What we have now, that is so much more common, mm-hmm. is that people can say whatever they think the other person wants to hear.
Right.
Or whatever serves their purpose. Politicians, for instance, say what they think
people
want to hear, what their constituents want to hear.
We won't mention any names, but I'm sure people know of some politicians who tell people what they want to hear. Sure.
Oh, I imagine so. No, I wasn't going to mention any names there.
Sure.
The fact that telepathic communication is becoming more widespread and certainly is going to just burgeon as the years pass. Communication, voice, mm-hmm. Is still going to be important. So it's not as if telepathic communication is going to replace voice-to-voice communication. Because, the sound of someone's voice and music, we still are going to hear and speak, but that higher element of communication that is so common among more evolved civilizations, because its distance doesn't diminish it. Distance has nothing whatsoever to do with it. This is another aspect of life that future generations are going to be experiencing.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I just want to make a quick station announcement for those who are just tuning in. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. We're broadcasting on 1150 AM for those locally. And for on the Internet, if you'd like to listen, it's www.1150kknw/listen. Or after the show, you can always listen to us at www.outofthisworld1150.com. Susie, I wanted to ask you some important things. Now, your communications with your son, do you do that at a certain time of day, or are there preparations you need to meditate before asking him a question? Because I'm asking that because I'd love to ask Matthew some questions on air if we could.
We can chat at any time we want to.
Okay.
And either of us can initiate it. The messages, obviously I need to be at the computer for those because I want to record them. But sometimes mm-hmm. he tells me in advance, particularly as I'm looking at emails and people have written, could Matthew explain more about thus and such, or, you know, that sort of thing. And he will say, Mother, I think that this is a topic that needs to be addressed in a message. And so I know that sometime soon he's going to be doing that. But he doesn't give it to me then. My memory is almost 82 years old, and so we're not going to tax that.
All right.
But we can chat at any time, Ted.
Oh, nice.
He's with me now. I know that.
Oh, nice.
And he did ask if I may say something before we get into whatever you'd like to ask him, because we have both been talking so much about what other civilizations know. And Matthew asked if it would be appropriate for me to mention that the books that are mentioned on my site contain many messages from representatives of some of those highly evolved civilizations. They describe their appearance in some cases. In fact, I think in most, they describe their history, how they are helping our civilization specifically. And I just wanted, Matthew wanted people to understand that you and I are not just repeating something and perhaps paraphrasing, or perhaps we know what we know because we have been told.
Mm-hmm.
But the people, your audience, may like to be able to know that they can have access to the accurate words of some of these representatives of these civilizations that you and I are talking about.
Well, that sounds just fascinating. Well, I'd like to give the opportunity certainly to Matthew, since he's here, to give any messages he'd like to my many listeners in over 60 countries around the world.
Well, he just did. So okay. Now, he said, he had a wonderful sense of humor, mm-hmm. as my son. And so what he just asked me to tell you is, fire away, Ted.
All right. All right. Well, I was just curious to see what he sees for my radio show in the future.
He's saying that every type of expression that is assisting in enlightening an audience is invaluable to raising the consciousness level.
Mm-hmm.
That the more opportunities that people avail themselves of with the access of this type of information, the more that the light workers like you, Ted, can offer this kind of information, upliftment is invaluable to moving our society forward toward the peaceful world where everyone lives in harmony. harmony with each other and with all of nature. So
beautiful.
I congratulate you, I applaud you, and I send you and your audience unconditional love from all souls at this station.
Nice. Very nice. Thank you, Matthew. We really appreciate that, those beautiful words. I have a friend of mine named Scott Lemriel who's been in touch with the Galactic Alliance for the last 54 years. He's had both telepathic and, they're also with Matthew as well. They just said that. They said, oh, yeah, we're talking about the same people. So my people know you people.
I just want to mention how much it delights me that you and Matthew also chat. I love it. It just fills my heart with such joy.
Well, thank you. Oh, he's here right now. Yeah, he's saying, he says my show's going to become even more successful than it is now, and it'll get syndicated soon, which that'll be nice. That'll be really nice.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
that'd
be really nice. That'd be really nice.
He just said, Mother, take 30 seconds and tell Ted and his audience that six deer are on your back terrace. They're approximately 20 feet outside your window, and they are nibbling on the special deer blocks that you put out there to invite them to come.
Oh, how nice. How nice.
I know. And now and then they look in the window as if, because they can see me. Mm-hmm. This is a huge window. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting at my computer, and so mm-hmm. I am here often. So I do see them fairly often. But it's as if they came today to honor your program, Ted.
Oh, how nice. How nice. Well, I know that...
Because this is not their usual hour to be here.
Oh, how lovely. How lovely. Well, thank the deer. Matthew says thank the deer yourself.
Yeah, that's why Matthew asked me to mention it, because this is not their usual hour. Early in the morning and later in the afternoon, 5:30, 6 o'clock, something like that. Those are their hours to come out.
Fascinating, fascinating. Well, I have to tell you that since you've been on and Matthew just came in, the light in this studio has once again became very bright and very beautiful. It's getting very bright now.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
very,
nice.
Very, very bright.
Oh, how lovely.
Having more sunlight come in. I know it's him. Yeah, he says it's him. So it always happens. It always happens when wonderful spirits come in and angels come in and to help me out with the program, and I so appreciate all their wonderful help.
Yes, we do have so many helpers, and that's another thing I'm so glad you brought up. It's not just you and I who have helpers, because, you know, you have your program, and I do the messages and publish the books. Every one of us has these helpers, and we can call them angels or spirit guides or, you know, whatever.
Right.
They don't really care what designation we give them. God doesn't care what we call him, and he's androgynous, so he's not really a him or a her.
Sure.
But we all have this wonderful assortment of helpers with us in every single moment. We can always say, we don't need to know names. We just say, please help me. Please help me feel stronger or wiser, or help me through this period. Mm-hmm. And we do. If we just open our hearts and our minds, the help comes flooding in.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I know from being in touch with the other side now for over 20 years, I'm very fortunate. I have about 8, 10, 12 different angels around me constantly, and it's very easy for me to—I just— talking to them is as easy and natural to me as talking to you now, Susie. And
it does become that way, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. It does. Yeah, you consider it's normal for me to do that.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. Mm-hmm. It's as normal as speaking with friends and family who are right beside us or on the phone. it becomes a beautiful part of our life that just is as normal as any other wonderful part.
Absolutely. 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 Well, you have a lot of wonderful books, don't you? Do you have a lot of materials people can look at your website?
There's a huge amount of material there. Okay. In addition to all of the messages, mm-hmm. Each of the books is a little blurb about them, a list of key topics in them. But there is also a sample chapter of each. There are five books in the Matthew Books series, and then a couple of years ago, I wrote my own little book. It's the only book that I have written, mm-hmm. It's amusing to profound, my conversations with animals. It's, one reviewer spoke of it as, this is such an endearing book. Mm-hmm. And because animals are, mm-hmm. and our relationship with them is. What I think one of the important aspects that this book does bring out, you can tell, readers can tell by the comments of the various animals. It's mostly the dogs who have been in my family, but it's also other animals, mm-hmm. And like deer and dolphins, and even a cricket, at least I called it a cricket, mm-hmm. They are part of our world, and some of them have such a great range of emotions and knowledge, ancient wisdom. It is astonishing, and we need to start appreciating the value of animals in our world and to understand that they are here to enlighten us and to help raise our consciousness. So they are here to be much more valuable than as pets. And it also, right. their comments show that their value to us as pets is much more than simply as companions.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I'm not on your show to tout the books.
But
enlighten your audience about the greater value of what we are connected with, and so that we can understand the deeper purpose of animals in our lives.
I'm not saying this, my next comment is not saying this in a negative sense, but actually to make people aware of what some of the actions that are underfoot now to harm the animals on this planet. I had a lady, a wonderful author named Patricia Corey on my program last April or May 2014. And if you go to my website, you can listen to her wonderful interview at www.outofthisworld1150.com. And she's been a passionate speaker for protecting whales and dolphins on this planet, because the last couple of years, our United States Navy has a plan underfoot for new sonar, which by their own admission will kill up to 5 million whales and dolphins, effectively eradicating many whales and dolphins from this planet. And people don't understand why they're doing this, but that's our Navy has got this plan underfoot. They're currently being sued in U.S. District Court in Hawaii. I don't know how that suit's going on, to force the Navy to at least file an environmental impact statement, but I don't know why our Navy, of all things, would consider dolphins and whales a threat to our national security, where they have to kill off 5 million of them. But I agree with you that animals have a very special place in our heart, in our world. And I would contend that the beautiful sing-song patterns that the whales and dolphins sing, actually help raise the consciousness of this planet by uplifting the vibrations and making it a better place.
You are right, Ted. The sample chapter on my site of Revelations for a New Era, the name of it is Cetaceans, and it explains what the whales and dolphins are doing for us.
Wonderful. 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 And could you give out your website again, please? I think we mentioned it at the beginning, but I want you, if you could do it.
Yes, the www.matthewbooks.com. And
wonderful.
Especially because you mentioned Patricia Corey, I believe her name?
Correct, yes.
Yes. Yes, it is so vital that all of us protest what the Navy is doing. The members of the Navy who are carrying out these exercises have no idea what is behind it, behind the sonar. They are aware that this can destroy the lives of the whales and dolphins, but they don't understand that this is something that the darkness initiated in their minds years ago, when the darkness had a much, much more powerful influence over our minds than they do now.
Well, I have to tell you, my friend Scott Lemriel, who's been on the show many times and who will be coming to the Galactic Wisdom Conference March 6th, 7th, and 8th in Gig Harbor, he says that that since in 1954, around that time, 53, 54, our then President Eisenhower signed a treaty, and it's actually an illegal treaty because it was never ratified by Congress, but it was signed in secret. And in exchange for this alien technology that he allowed these reptilians and greys to abduct humans and study us on a large scale. Since that time, the reptilians and the greys have studied us all right. They've actually they've created a hybrid human reptilian species that and some people think that's trying to take over the planet ultimately. The other thing, too, is that they've developed a way of electromagnetic implants at the base of the neck, which actually control people's behavior. And he says that many people in our military, especially the U.S. Navy carrying out this sonar program, are absolutely controlled by these reptilians and gray aliens to destroy these beautiful whales and dolphins so that the vibration of this planet will be lowered ultimately. And, you know, people protest, people sue, but so far this administration's done nothing about it. And from what I've been told, you know, many governments around the world are actually controlled by these reptilians and by these creepy grays. And you got to feel sorry for the humans controlled by these entities because they've lost their free will. You know, the people we think that are human, they're still human, all right, but they're like puppets. They're due as they're told, and they have no free will left anymore. They simply do things to harm the planet, harm people on it.
I would like to mention something about the reptilians, because at least the people who have heard of them, I would have to say the majority of people have not, but the people who have heard of them may have the impression that the entire species of reptilians is dark, and that is not true. There are light beings among that species, and one of the messages is on my site is from Horus. That's spelled Horiss. He is a reptilian commander who is working for the light forces, and he gives his message is excellent in explaining how the light reptilians are even more eager than the light the humans within the light forces to defeat all the dark ones. That the dark ones do not represent the whole of the species.
Well, thank you so much for explaining that. I know that from my conversations with Scott Lemriel and from what I've heard that the Dalai Lama actually have said, as well as the Native American elders among the Hopi and the Navajo in the South American Southwest, that evil as an experiment is ending on this planet. It's not stopped completely, but it's slowly being ended because the whole concept of having evil to propel people to do to go on to do greater good is not hasn't really worked out all that well. So this planet now, I've been told that evil as an experiment is slowly ending, which is great. In my opinion.
Oh yes, yes, it absolutely is. Mm-hmm. One indication of this is that so many people within governments and people are urging governments to negotiate differences, to negotiate the end of stalemates or conflicts,
like with...
rather than go to war.
Right. Right.
The people who are advocating go to war here, go to
right.
war there,
right.
Are the ones who are still captive of the war, kill,
right.
battle
right.
mentality.
Right. Right.
And it's because the only people who profit from war are the industrial complex
right,
that
right.
that manufactures war machinery.
Plus, the reptilians feed off negativity, and so the more wars we have on this planet, the more conflict, the more energy they get.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the dark elements
right.
of the reptilians,
mm-hmm.
because there are equally dark members of the human species.
True.
The
That's
DNA
true.
Is really the only difference in
mm-hmm.
the two.
Mm-hmm.
The DNA that has the different patterning for different capabilities and different appearances.
Mm-hmm.
So it's we do need to honor the light workers of all species, all races.
I agree. Susie, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we've got about 2 minutes left, and I just want to make...
Oh, my goodness.
No, that's okay, my friend. I'm going to give you the last minute, but I just want to make a quick announcement that for those who are just tuning in, this is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW here on 1150 AM. This program is entirely supported by donations, so any amount that you could donate would be greatly appreciated. Please go to our website at www.outofthisworld1150.com. There's a little donate button. Even a dollar really, really, really helps. On February 3rd, I will be on Dr. Lorraine Hurley's Metaphysical and Psychic program out of Boston. Her radio program is called Uncommon Awareness. Her website is www.drhurley.net. That's DRHURLEY. And there are plans being made now for me to co-host her program beginning at the end of February. She's syndicated throughout the United States and Canada, and it should be a wonderful experience. And just want to mention again the Galactic Wisdom Conference. For those interested in registering, we have a special running now with a 50% discount for students at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. And Susie, my friend, we've got about 45 seconds left. Please please wrap up the interview today for my friends.
Matthew is saying, love yourselves, forgive yourselves. Love and forgiveness start with self and radiate out into the world, to specific individuals, to all of society. This sends forth the light that is uplifting your civilization. We send blessings and unconditional love and peace to all of you.
What a beautiful message. Thank you so much, Susie, for that. And with that, my friends, I hope you have a fantastic week, and may you have a happy day. Bye-bye, everyone. We'll talk to you next week.